subject that's unpopular today, but not with God's people or with God. Although it's a strange subject to God, the Bible says that it's a strange subject to Him. I can't read in this service all of the references to this subject in the Bible, or we'd still be here this afternoon. But you can go home. You got a Bible with a concordance in it, or a concordance at home. You can look up all the references to it and cross-reference it if you have a center column reference. So bury yourself in the Word. Amen. But right now, let's read. We're going to talk about judgment this morning. We're going to read from Hebrews, this 9th chapter, in the 27th and 28th verses. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We're going to read from the Old Testament now, from the book of Daniel. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands upon thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment were set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. I'm sorry to say that some religious people get so much good out of preaching about judgment. Some religious people are cruel in crowning the congregation over their heads with the knowledge of the judgment of God. I want to tell you something, folks. There is a judgment day. You cannot read the Bible and deny that. You cannot read the Holy Scriptures and not see that there is a day of judgment. It would be amiss not to have a judgment day. We have to have a judgment day. Not because we want to see people burn in hell, not because we want to see things turn bad for people, but because the holiness and righteousness of God, who sits on the throne of his glory, cannot tolerate forever the sin and the ungodliness that has taken mankind down. I have to tell you, folks, it's a strange thing for God to send judgment. God will hold off to the last minute. You may not think so. You may be one of those religious people who say, God's going to get them. God's going to have them. And my children laugh at the pastor of that church they go to down in North Carolina, and sometimes he'll say, God's going to smite him in the neck and put his foot on him. Well, he's going to do that ultimately to evil and to evil people. As you read the scriptures there, you see ultimately that kingdoms are going to fall, thrones are going to be cast down, and fiery fire's going to issue forth and burn them. but it's never God's will for it to do. In fact, judgment is such a strange thing to God that he will withhold the judgment because of his mercy. The Bible talks about the long suffering of God. I have to tell you, folks, God, I wonder how he puts up with us. I wonder how he puts up with what all is going on in the world, what all is happening in people's lives. Looking at America, and more than any other country, folks, because we've been blessed beyond what any country and any people have ever been blessed, and how we can turn our faces away from God and turn our backs on him, how we can walk in our sinful ways and not obey the truth of the gospel is more than I can hardly see. It reminds you of the day of Noah. In fact, as the scripture said, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, you say, how was it in the days of Noah? Well, first of all, nobody believed there was any judgment coming. Nobody believed it was there. Everybody continued to sin. Everybody continued to do what they were doing. They and the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, God could have sent instant and would have been justified in it. God could have sent instant judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. God could have sent instant judgment on the people of Noah's day. But what did he do? He could have said, Noah, here's your ark, get in it. You say, God can do that? God can do that. He could have made him an ark, told him to get in it. He could have made him a mountain so high that it would have been out of the water. He could have done lots of things. But for the sake of the people living on the earth, for the sake of the people, when God pronounced judgment, and he did pronounce judgment, the Lord looked down, Tennessee Ernie Ford used to sing, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky, said, I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day. I'll send a little water in to wash them all away. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what happened? God came down. How does you feel about, I don't know about you, but what your profession is, but in my profession, if the state inspector of funeral homes and crematories and whatnot shows up on the front porch, there's a little shiver goes up your spine, because we're going to have to give an account of what we've been doing and how we've been doing it. How would you feel about God showing up in your community, walking through your yard and your house and looking around? We used to sing a song sometimes, popular on the radio for years. If Jesus came to your house, I wonder what you'd do. If he came unexpectedly just to spend a day or two. And it goes on to talk about, would you meet him at the door and say, come on in, come on in. Or would you meet him at the door and say, could you wait just a minute? And run and put some hymn books out and put the Bible out and dust the dust off of it and take the bad books and the bad movies and throw them away or sweep them under the bed where you wouldn't see them. What would be your reaction if Jesus was to come and walk through your house today? Well, Jesus did come. God Almighty came in Noah's time and walked among men. And God didn't like at all what he saw. He didn't like anything about it. The men were violent. The earth was filled with violence. They were immoral. They were horrible and gave God no recognition at all in their life. Now, when God saw all that, made him mad, made him upset. But you know what? He still held the judgment off. You would have thought that the minute that God saw all that mess going on the earth, that he would have just wiped it out right then and right there. But he didn't. You know what it says? It says, on account of the long suffering of God. Wow, on account of the long suffering of God. What did he do? He gave him the message. The word is always coming, not to kill you, but to heal you. The word comes to raise you up and to make you a better life and a better home and a better everything that you've got. And God spoke to Noah. He looked around the earth, and of all the people that were living in the earth And I don't know how many there were by that time, but there were a lot of people there. And by the time those people heard the word of God, the judgment came. And so what did God do? God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. I'm going to destroy every bird, every animal. I'm going to destroy the whole earth, and I'm going to start out again. There were only 8 people in the ark, 3 sons and 3 daughters-in-law, Noah and Mrs. Noah. That's all there was. And yet God said, I'm going to destroy it, and I'm going to start again. God could have zapped them away just right then. Instantly, it would have been over. But because of his long-suffering, because of his mercy, because his aversion to destroying his creation, what did he do? He waited 120 years. Can you imagine that? God watched that mess going on in Noah's time. 120 years. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally came the day to get in the ark. Now, when we put all the scriptures about Noah together in the Bible, we discover that Noah had not been idle during that 120 years. For one thing, the biggest structure they had ever seen was being built. Not maybe the tallest, wasn't like a pyramid, but it was long. Longest football fields, several of them. Widest football fields. 3 stories deep and full of everything that this earth had to offer. Now, all of that for 120 years, people watched as the ark was building. And every day that Noah, we used to sing, God spoke to Noah, told him what to do. Noah began to cut unto you, keep that ark a moving. Well, Noah started building, and he laid the keel of it, and he brought the structure up. Took him 120 years to do it. And all the time that Noah and his crowd were building the ark, what was he doing? He was preaching. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was preaching. He was telling them, God is upset with you. God is going to send judgment from heaven. God is going to send a flood, and everybody's going to be destroyed. You need to get ready. You need to be ready. You don't know when the flood's coming. You need to be ready for the flood to come. You need to be ready for the judgment to fall. God does not want to destroy you. He wants to warn you to get in before it's too late. So he warns Noah, and through Noah, he warns the whole world, and they don't listen to him. They think he's making a joke. They think it's something bad. Well, so what do they do? God tells him when the day comes, get all of your animals, get all your family, and get in the ark. And they get in the ark, and you say, I guess the rain began to fall. No. 7 days. 7 days more, God waits. 7 days more, everybody looks. And they laughed. You see that old coot? He's been building this thing for 120 years. Now they all locked up in there with all that stink and all them animals. Everybody laughed at it. And you know what? At the end of those days, God reached down and did what is hard for God to do to human beings. But I want you to know he will do it. And I want you to know that America needs to be mindful that they could be in danger if that happened. God shut the door. Let me say that again to get into your heart. God shut the door. 120 years had passed. 7 days more had passed. And God shut the door and then waited before the rain began to fall. But once the judgment came, my friend, it was total. Water came down from the skies. They'd never seen rain before. Not just rain like that, any rain. They'd never seen rain before, but it began to fall. And they'd never seen the fountains of the deep broken up. But the great aquifers down in the earth began to gush forth, and water began to rise. And the water rose and rose and rose till it covered every mountain and every hill and everything. That was the judgment of God. God sent the judgment, same as he did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He told them, he warned them. Abraham was there all the time. And Lot wasn't much of a witness, but he was a witness. He had his faults and failures, but he was a witness. Lot pleaded with his daughters, with his sons-in-law, with his wife. Lot pleaded with all of them that were there to repent, to turn to God. And you know what? The Bible said he was like somebody making a joke. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. And yet God did not send the fire down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Instead, he sent two angels who came walking down the road one day by Abraham's tent. And Abraham saw him and invited him in and began to talk to him. And as he talked to him, he suddenly realized, I'm not talking to mere men. I'm talking to angels from heaven. I'm talking to the living God who has appeared down here in flesh and is sitting at my house drinking milk and eating meat right this minute. And when they got up to leave, the two angels went on down the road. But one of them stayed behind with Abraham. That was the Lord himself. And the Lord himself stayed back. Why? To warn him of what was happening. The judgment of God was coming, but the mercy of God was ahead of it. And they began to talk. And the Lord said to himself, so it's okay to talk to yourself, because I read in the Bible the Lord talks to himself. And the Lord talked to himself. And the Lord said, shall I withhold anything from my servant Abraham? Abraham's always been a friend of God. Shall I not tell him what I will do and what I'm going to do? So the message came from the Lord to Abraham that everything in Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. Judgment was going to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire was going to consume them. They couldn't believe it. The angels went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham's walking along. Now there's two things going on here. One is down here at the gates of Sodom, they're opening the gates and the two angels have walked in and are walking among the people. Nobody knows they're there. Nobody knows who they are. But they're the angels of God sent from the judgment seat of God who are walking among the people. As they do it, the Lord is back up the road at Abraham's house or his tent, and he's eating dinner with him. He's walking along the road with him. And he's explaining to Abraham what he's going to do. And Abraham says, oh no, my family's down there in that mess. How many of you feel like you got family in Sodom and Gomorrah and they need to get out? Amen. All over this country and this world, my friend, there are people caught in places that are marked for the judgment of God. And the mercy of God will be all it will be to deliver them from it. And brothers and sisters, while Abraham's talking to the Lord, he begins to beg him. He begins to intercede for him. He begins to pray to him. And he asks him, you're not going to kill them all. You're not going to kill all the righteous people with the bad people. And the Lord lets you know, no, he won't kill the righteous. Trouble is finding the righteous. They can't find it. He keeps going down and down and down. The number does till it gets down to 10. And by and large, God should have already sent the fire. But he didn't. He didn't. He said, for Abraham's sake, oh, my friend, I wonder how many people are out here in the world and some grandma's prayers is holding them up. I wonder how many kids are out here in the world somewhere, some grandpa's somewhere on his knees praying, some mommy's somewhere in the closet praying, some sister or brother, some were praying. And the judgment of God is being held off because the mercies of God are being pleaded by somebody pleading for them. And Abraham begins to make intercession for a Lot. Actually, he never specifies Lot, any righteous ones. Lot was worthy to be saved. And at that same time, the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? They didn't know him. The angels of judgment came and nobody knew him. The angels of judgment came and they made fun of him. The angels of judgment came, and they, I guess, good-looking fellas. So the homosexuals of Sodom began to set up on them and to make passes at them. They came to take them out and to violate them and treat them bad. These are the angels who have come. And when it got right down to it, God said, if you've got anybody here, Lot, that you want to be saved, you go get them, because tomorrow the fire's going to fall. And they didn't believe him. They went all through the city. He went to his sons-in-law. He must have had other daughters than these three. And he went to his sons-in-law. He went to his neighbors. He went to his friends. He told them, said, God has appeared to us. And God is upset with us about our sins down here in Sodom. And God wants us to be saved. So he has sent us a message to get out while we can. To get out before the fire falls. And you know what? They didn't go. Angels come from heaven. Angels came from the very presence of the Lord, who, by the way, is just up the road at Abraham, standing there looking down toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And what do? They laugh at him. The angels finally had to grasp hold of them by the clothes and forcibly pull them out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and send them on their way up the road with the message, don't look back. Don't look back. But somebody did look back. And Jesus talked about it in the New Testament. Lot's wife could not bear to leave. Well, she had children down there. She had grandchildren, probably. She had sons-in-law. She had people there. And she had a history of time there that she had lived there. And she didn't want to see it destroyed. So instead of obeying God, she turned and looked back to what was going on. And as the fire began to fall from heaven, she was turned to a pillar of salt. And by the way, Jesus told that story, and he said, now we're talking not about some fairy tale, we're talking about Jesus. And he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what happened to her. And my friend, the judgment began to fall. Fire and brimstone, sulfur, began to fall from heaven. And fire began to consume everything that was there. And everything that was there was burned up and taken away. My friend, that was the judgment of God. But God didn't send it immediately. God sent mercy before he sends judgment. And brothers and sisters, why do you think that God has put the book of Daniel in the Bible? Why do you think God has put the book of the Revelation in the Bible? Why do you think that God put the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 21st chapter of Luke in the Bible? Why do you think God gave Zechariah the prophecies in the Old Testament he gave him? I'll tell you why. So that judgment will not fall on you or this nation or your household without you knowing of the mercies of God first. God does not want you or yours to be destroyed in the fire that's going to fall or the flood that's going to rise. God wants to save you. God wants to redeem you. His sacrifice on Calvary is complete and adequate. His mercies are everlasting. He is not beyond prayer. There's no sin you have committed that's so great that it cannot be forgiven. God will redeem you. The judgment of God will come. That's the first thing you establish when you look at that. And by the way, Jesus talked about the judgment falling more often than he ever talked about walking on streets of gold or being in the city. You say, why would he do that? Because he loves you. And he wants to tell you that he loves you. And he does not want you to be destroyed in the judgment that's coming. My friend, it cannot hold off forever. The judgment cannot be held back forever. My friend, one day, somewhere on God's calendar, it's marked. The judgment's going to be complete. Human beings are going to have done the last dirty trick they've doing. This mess, how often that must look for the when God looks down from heaven and looks at what's going on in the Ukraine. How awful it must be for God to look down from heaven and see what's going on among the religious world in America. How terrible that must be. What must it affect God to recognize that whole denominations of Christians in the United States who have been raised up with godly leaders like John and Charles Wesley and all those people. How many revivalists God has sent, lifting their voices. Billy Sunday, laying in the floor like he was sliding into home plate, begging for people to be saved and held to baptize them right here in this branch in Clendenin Holler. How often God has moved, sent Billy Graham, sent Dwight Moody, sent the Great Western Revival, sent the Great Awakening, sent all of his blessings upon us. And I have to tell you something. Prosperity has done more to draw us away from God than poverty ever did. God, in his infinite wisdom, in his great mercies, has told us through Daniel and others what it's like. One day, all the kings of this earth are going to be moved off of their thrones. And their thrones are going to be cast down. See what's going to happen then. Then to that one who sits on the throne, to that one who is sitting on high, is going to come the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And away with all these kingdoms. And all the kingdoms of this earth are going to fall. That's the judgment of God. And in their place will be a stone hewed without hands. In their place will be the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will come and be set up here on this earth. And all the wicked governments and kings, there will be no more Ukraines. There will be no more atomic weapons. There will be no more guns fighting and people stabbing and cursing and all the things that they do. But my friend, Jesus Christ will rule this earth from Jerusalem, landing as he comes out of glory after having destroyed the beast power at the Battle of Armageddon, landing on the Mount of Olives. And this same Jesus, hallelujah, the same Jesus that you saw going away is coming again. My friend, the judgment of the great whore will be done. The judgment of the false church and the beast religion will be done. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be set up on the earth. And I have to ask you today and tell you something. Do you know that God has blessed you with an opportunity today? You who are listening by radio or by CD or some other means, I want you to know that God has given you an opportunity. If you hear me, such as I am, if you hear me delivering this message, you have been warned. You have been warned. Your family has been warned. Your country has been warned. You have been warned of the judgment of God. Not because God says, I'm going to get you for that. That's not God's attitude. That's some religious person's attitude. God's attitude is, won't you come? I have made it free at Calvary. I have opened the door of heaven and left it open. And I'm pleading with you and begging you to come in and to repent of your sins. And to be ready when I come. My friend, he's coming. There is going to be a judgment day, but not until God has given you a chance to repent. There is going to be, my friend, a great catastrophe on this earth. Maybe you ought to watch Nova sometime or read in the science journals. My friend, the scientists of this world have better sense than most of the religious people. And you say, how come? Because they know that we're standing on the precipice of the demise of this whole planet. What are you going to do? Where will you be when the last trumpet sounds? When it sounds so loud it'll wake up the dead, where will you be when the great trumpet sounds? Remember what we used to sing? Sing a verse of it with me. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Who will be able to stand? All right, all right, Jesus, we'll fix it all right, all right. All right, all right, Jesus will fix it all right. Yes, Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Jesus, getting us ready for that great day. Who will be able to stand? And my friend, so who's going to stand? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity. My friend, that soul is going to live. Hallelujah. Father God, may conviction seize our souls. May conviction seize our nation and our world. Father, would you send a wave of convicting power of the Holy Ghost to come over? Lord, let it come over Washington and New York and all the cities of this land. Let it come over our churches and our people, Father, that we'll repent and turn before it's too late. Heavenly Father, we pray today that the merciful kindness and long suffering of God will continue. And Lord, open up tent meetings and church meetings and meeting halls. Open up schoolhouses and fields, and Father, draw the people to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may find within him the glory and the honor that belongs only to him. Hallelujah. May the revival sweep the land. May the Spirit stir up our spirits. And Father, we'll not fail but to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.